Well, thank you, church, for everything. It's a long list, but it's just good to be here. We've enjoyed ourselves, enjoyed everything that's been going on, and I just pray that the messages have meant something to you from all the preachers, and the fellowship we've had with the missionaries and you, and getting to know some of you that we haven't met before. It's just good to be in a missions conference, amen, and we're thankful for that. I'm going to read something to start here with. I picked up somewhere. I don't even know where I got this from. An elderly Chinese woman had two large pots, each hung on the ends of a pole, which she carried across her neck. One of the pots had a crack in it, while the other pot was perfect and always delivered a full portion of water. At the end of the long walk from the stream to the house, the crack pot arrived only half full. For a full 2 years, this went on daily, with the woman bringing home only 1.5 pots of water. Of course, the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, but the poor crack pot was ashamed of its own imperfection and miserable that it could only do half of what it had been made to do. After 2 years of what it perceived to be bitter failure, the pot spoke to the woman one day by the stream. "I am ashamed of myself because this crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your house." The old woman smiled. "Did you notice that there are flowers on your side of the path, but not on the other pot's side? That's because I have always known about your flaw. So I planted flower seeds on your side of the path, and every day while we walk back, you water them. For 2 years, I have been able to pick these beautiful flowers to decorate the table. Without you being just the way you are, there would not be this beauty to grace the house. Each of us has our own unique flaw. But it's the cracks and flaws we each have that make our lives together so very interesting and rewarding. You've just got to take each person for what they are and look for the good in them. So to all my crackpot friends, remember to smell the flowers on your side of the path. Amen. With that said, I need about 10 crackpot guys up here lined up in the front. Can I get 10 volunteers? Come on, young guys. Come on. I'm not going to. Amen. It doesn't have to be young guys, just 10. 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Need a couple more. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, we need one more crackpot.
Is that 10? All right, let's have a space between you two. Come this way. And then we'll have two people, and then another space. And then three people. Actually, four people. Four, and then another space, and then three. Boy, good-looking crackpots, amen. This person represents 10% of the entire world's population. Just assume this is what this is. 10% who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Out of the entire population. These two guys here have a knowledge of God, but they don't act like it. No fruit. And then we have four people here who have a knowledge of God, but never received Him. They rejected Him and they know it. And then we have three people over here, representing 30% of the world's population. If you say Jesus, they would say, "Jesus who? Who is Jesus?" Now, whose responsibility to get the gospel to these guys, to these guys, to these who are saved but they have no fruit? Whose responsibility is it to get the gospel to 90% of the world's population. Ben, you got your job cut out for you.
Yep.
You get the point. That's why we're having missions conferences. It's too much for 10% of the population to do the work. All right, you crackpots can go sit down now. So our goal this week is to be able to send more out so more can get saved. Amen. Take your Bibles and take you back to 1 Samuel one more time, 17, 1 Samuel 17. And then get 2 Corinthians 8 on the other hand. 1 Samuel 17. You know, this church supported us the entire 20 years we were in Canada. I certainly appreciate your support financially and prayerfully. And continue to pray for us, please. Amen. I turned 75 and it seems like I'm falling apart. Amen. 1 Samuel 17, verse 29, and David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Is there not a cause? I've been preaching about that all week. There is a cause. 2 Corinthians 8. Monday night, we talked about, out of 2 Corinthians 8, how Paul is telling the Corinthians how the church of Macedonia, they had the grace of giving. We saw in verse 2 how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So we see the participants of faith promise. That's everybody. Doesn't matter if you are in affliction or if you have joy or deep poverty or riches. Doesn't matter. Verse 3, "For their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they're willing of themselves." So in verse 3, we see the power of faith promise. Give beyond our power. And you can do that if you use His power. Verse 4, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." So that's the purpose of faith promise. So we can collect our faith promise and we can minister to those saints, those missionaries that are going all over the world to reach those last 30% that don't even know Jesus Christ. They wouldn't even know His name. And then you got 40%. It's like 70%. Of the world's population. And then verse 5, "And this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Very, very important there, because you're not going to give the faith promise missions until you give yourself to the Lord. Amen. That's the key. That's the key. And this whole conference, even though we have to talk about money, because missionaries need your money, but unless you know and have a personal relationship with the Lord, you're not going to part with that money. Right. So that's a faith issue, not a money issue all week. So keep that in mind. Key question all week. Is there not a cause? You know, if I can get you to understand that there is a cause, whatever it might be. This week we're dealing with missions. But if I can get you to understand the cause and believe in the cause, there's a chance you'll support that cause. Amen. The cause this week is the Great Commission. Dick Hillis, who served as a missionary in China from 1933 to 1949, he reported a conversation he had with a young communist lieutenant who was leaving to join a battle in which the odds were against him 20-1 that he would even survive. Said Hillis, I told the 19-year-old young man that the opposition army is better than your army. It is protected by high walls and iron gates. They're heavenly sandbagged. He replied, I know that, but the enemy has no great cause to fight, and they will turn and run when the battle warms up. But young man, it won't do you any good if you get killed during your attack on the city tonight. The youth replied, Chairman Mao has told us we should be willing to die to change the world, and I am quite prepared to do that to carry communism a mile further. We have a cause worth fighting for, that young man said. The young man died in his quest, but he died dedicated to his leader and to his cause. God's children should be just as zealous to obey the command of our captain, of our salvation, to go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Be willing to give up your life for the cause. Amen. That's going to take faith to do that. Charles Spurgeon said, little faith will bring your soul to heaven. Great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Amen. You might want to write that down. Little faith will bring your soul to heaven. Great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Faith does not grow in a comfortable situation. So this week, as far as your faith promise, maybe you should get a little uncomfortable. Give until you're uncomfortable. That would be great faith. You know, the first year I lived by faith, I was concerned. How are we going to do it? But the first year I lived by faith, I gained 12 pounds. God took care of me. You know, it's kind of like concrete. Just hadn't set up yet, amen. Some of you can relate. You're tightening up on me already tonight, amen. You know, when it comes to money, Dr. David Gibbs of CLA, he quoted an amazing statistic at pastor school several years ago. He says, if your income is $20,000 a year, then you're in the top one half of 1% of income earners on the planet. That's 99.5%. If you make $20,000, you make more than 99.5% of the people on this planet. He said also 1.1 million people live on less than $1 a day. So we're not as bad off as we think, amen. So think about what you can do with your faith promise tonight. You've got what it takes. Are you willing to let go of it? Verse 6 and 7 of 2 Corinthians 8 are written to persuade us to abound in the grace of giving. I'll read those verses. Verse 6, insomuch that we desire Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Brother Sturch last night dealt with that grace. That's the grace of giving. 7, therefore as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Talking about the grace of giving. I won't spend much time in those two verses, but let's look at verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. There's some interesting things I want you to see in this verse. Number one, it says, I speak not by commandment. Believers are not commanded to give the offering we're talking about. It's a volunteer or free will offering. I won't put a curse on you if you don't do it. Pastor Kenny might, I don't know, but it's a free will offering. I'm just saying it's a worthy cause and something you should pray about and consider doing. There's much we're commanded to do in the Bible. We're commanded to witness. We're commanded to be faithful to church, live holy lives. But this mission offering must be done with an attitude of willingness, not command. The Macedonians were willing of themselves. Last part of verse 3. Paul did not coerce to put them on a guilt trip. He told them of the need, and they joyfully responded. Some Christians like that are not, some Christians like the fact that they're not commanded to give. So they don't give. And if you feel that way, you shouldn't give. God does not need your money. What He really wants is you. And that's what He's trying to get this week, amen. He's trying to get you to respond willingly. God says in Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. He says in Psalm 50, the world is mine and the fullness thereof. He's got it. God's need is not money. He chooses to use our money, but that's not His need. He needs Christians who are totally committed to Him. He wants surrendered saints that He can use to give through. That's the reason that the giving of self is crucial. Amen. Each person should ask God what they should give and then give it. Be obedient. And you give it for the whole year. The issue of each person's giving should be settled in their hearts. And if you're in fellowship with Christ, you'll know what to do. Paul says, don't give grudgingly or out of necessity, but be a cheerful giver. Be a cheerful giver. One pastor said, if you can't give joyfully, just keep your money. Well, that's a dangerous statement in some churches today. Another pastor said, God loves a cheerful giver, but He'll take it from an old grouch. We must remember that faith promise mission giving is voluntary. No one will pressure you to give. No one's going to track you down and ask you why you didn't give last month or whatever. You know, that's between you and the Lord. I had a Filipino girl come up to me in Canada, and we did faith promise in Canada. And she said, Pastor, I got to tell you, I can't keep on giving faith promise. My family in the Philippines need money and I got to send it over there. And I said, well, why are you telling me? That's really between you and the Lord. Amen. And it is. Amen. It is. The promise you make is between you and the Lord. Amen. If you can't do it, then you get with Him. Amen. So we must remember that it's voluntary. And then in that verse 8, it says, by occasion of the forwardness of others. So Paul does not want them to give because of the tremendous giving of the churches of Macedonia. He just uses the Macedonian church as an example. It's not so much keeping up with the Joneses. You know, I got to give this much because they do and that type of thing. It's not that. No, he gives them the example of Macedonia, but he wants them to give because of their right heart attitude. Now, the first part of verse 8 states that the offering is not commanded. Uncommitted Christians take comfort in those words. However, the next part of the verse removes that comfort. And that is the next thing I want you to see about this verse. The last part of verse 8 says, and to prove the sincerity of your love. The faith promise giving is not commanded, but it does give proof that the believer loves the Lord Jesus Christ. We show our love for Christ by our giving to missions. That was Christ. Christ wanted us. It was His. He's the one that's given the commands. Prove the sincerity. Forget your social status. Forget your economic status. Forget your age. Just give because you love Jesus Christ. He loved you enough to die for you. Amen. How much do you love Him? I'm afraid that based on what some people give, they don't love Him very much. Now, we will never do this, I'm sure, around here, but if we could drop that screen, and if we could put on that screen how much each one of you gave to missions last year, that would show who loves the Lord and who doesn't love the Lord. I could say, we'll never do that. But keep that in your mind. You know, people spend hundreds of dollars on luxuries each week and then give a dollar or $5 or $10 a week to missions. Do you realize that Christians, not lost people, but Christians, spend $8.2 billion a year at Halloween for candy and costumes? You can Google it. Come on. $8.2 billion. That was in 2022. $67 billion is spent every year on dog food. $150 billion on total pet spending in 2023. That's $137 a month if you divide that number by 8 billion people. I mean, if there's 60 adults in this church, and I don't know how many they are, but if 60 adults gave $137 a month to missions, that would be right at $100,000. That's about 30 bucks a week. So yeah, we're talking about reaching a big goal, but when everybody gets involved and everybody has a part of it, then it's not that much on everybody. We all doing our part, whatever God tells us to do. And God knows what we should be doing. Some women spend more on their hair and their nails than they give to missions. I know it's not a popular message. It's very quiet in here. I'm used to that. But in that context, those women love their hair and their nails more than they do Jesus Christ. Men love their boats and their golf games and their four-wheelers and their rifles and things of that nature more than Christ. They invest more than that. They do missions. I'm just trying to get you to think. Many people keep way more for themselves than they give to God, and God notices that. But God loves it when people just give because they love Him and they obey Him. See, your giving to missions is not commanded, but it will prove your love for your Savior. Those are not my words. Those are Paul's words as he was given by the Holy Spirit. So we see in verse 6 and 7 the persuasion of faith promise. Verse 8, the proof of faith promise. Verse 9, I'll read that. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Here we see the passion of faith promise. When we really think of the passion of the Lord, we'll give ourselves and all that we have. That's what he did. If you're looking for a standard for giving, here it is, the Lord Jesus Christ. After telling Corinth, the church of Corinth, that the giving of mission offerings proves the sincerity of their love, Paul goes to explain how Jesus proved the sincerity of his love for them. The New Testament provides abundant evidence of how the Lord proved his love. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. The gift of God's Son on the cross provides absolute proof that he loves us. Amen. Our voluntary giving proves our love to him. We can give without loving, but we can't love without giving. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God, you're getting quiet on me. I should have worn my money tie tonight. I used to have a tie that had all money on it. And I think somebody at church stole it. I don't know. Some people say there are easier ways to prove their love for Christ. There's easier ways than giving to missions. That's what some people say. But from the Lord's perspective, was he looking for an easy way to prove his love when he left heaven for us? When he stood at Pilate's judgment hall, where he endured lies, beatings, mocking, thorns, and spittle, was that easy? He wasn't looking for an easy way. When they drove the spikes into his hands and feet and thrust a spear in his side, even then he did not seek an easy way to prove his love for us. Some people say, well, I love the Lord, but I don't see what giving to missions has to do with it. Those people should be honest with themselves. It's not the Lord they love. They love themselves. Their main love is money and the things that may be bought with money. No one is commanded to participate. You don't have to do this to be a member of the church. But if we want to prove our love to the Lord as he proved his love to us, we will give. Why? Because there is a cause. There's a cause. As we hoard our riches and bathe in our luxuries, 1/3 of the world's population has never heard this message. How can we not get involved? How can we not get involved? So after hearing the preaching this week and seeing the presentations and meeting the missionaries, I pray that you now believe that there is a cause if you didn't already believe that. Hopefully you're willing to support the cause. The Great Commission is a great cause. And because of faith promise giving, much can be accomplished. Let's look at verse 9. Excuse me, verse 12. For if there be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So tonight we've looked at the persuasion, we've looked at the proof, we looked at the passion. Verse 10 and 11 have to do with the performance. Just do it. Basically, it's what those two verses say. Number 12 is the potential. The need is great. We all know that. Only a fraction of people in the world are born again. Bible believers have the potential to evangelize the world if they'll commit themselves to to Christ and His will for our lives. If every church would develop a strong missions program and institute Faith Promise, we can immediately fully support all the missionaries on deputation. I believe God would call more missionaries if the churches would support them. I remember when I was on deputation years ago, I was out there for 16 months. If more people got involved in missions, missionaries wouldn't have to spend so much time raising their support. I think my average support may have been $50 a month for most churches, and I appreciate that, and I'm thankful for it. But if more people would do more, and if that support could be $100 per church, I could have gotten to the field a whole lot quicker. Amen. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So if you're willing, the potential for missions is unmeasurable. If you want to reach your potential, I believe verse 12 will give us some insight. It says, for if there be first a willing mind. You know, I've always heard that you can do anything you set your mind to. Where there's a will, there's a... All right, you can talk. Praise the Lord. I was starting to wonder. Ladies, you know how to get that new dress or that new carpet or those new cabinets. Where there's a will, there's a way, right? Men, you know how to get that new boat or new golf clubs or new rifle. Hey, where there's a will, there's a way. Even young people have figured that out. When it comes to giving to missions, unfortunately, many just aren't willing. Sometimes God has to slap us around a little bit just to get our attention. I heard one time a preacher say something like this. He says, a church was raising funds for repairs to the ceiling in their sanctuary. Now, this one looks pretty good. But a wealthy man stood up and he said he was willing to give $5 to the repair fund. And exactly the same time, a ceiling tile fell and hit him right on the head. And he was a little confused, and he was stunned. He blurted out, I meant $500, $500. The preacher said, hit him again, Lord, hit him again, hit him again. Why is it we have to get to that point? Unfortunately, sometimes the Lord has to make us willing to give. And He certainly has His ways of doing it. Brother Humberto Gomez is a friend of mine. He started over 75 churches down in Mexico. He was willing to go. Committed. Where there's a will, there's a way. Are you willing to surrender? D.L. Moody was asked, are you willing to die for Christ? I would, he said, but added, it would be easier to die for Christ than to daily and sacrificially live for Him. To be willing to live for Christ daily and to sacrifice for Him daily is a difficult thing sometimes. Are you willing to be a missionary if God wants you to be? You say, I can't do that. Yes, you can if you're willing. If you're willing, God's able. He can do the impossible, is like what we heard last night. Amen? He's a God of the impossible. Are you willing to quit your job if God wants you to? You say, well, now I certainly can't do that. Yes, you can if you're willing. And that is what God wants you to do. And I'm not saying everybody in here has to be surrender to be a missionary or quit your job. But if that's what God wants you to do, that's what you need to do. I read where Billy Sunday was a pro baseball player before he got into ministry. I know a pastor in Texas who was a bank president. I know a pastor in Jacksonville, Florida, who was a police captain. And of course, we all know the evangelist, Brother Spurgeon, who was a national vice president of the outlaw motorcycle gang. Now, the law helped him along a little bit there, but he surrendered. Yeah. Charles Finney gave up a law career. Dale Moody had a goal to make $100,000. He surrendered and has probably influenced over 100,000 people for Christ. William Carey said, "Why should I take a demotion to be a king? I am a missionary." Are you willing? Are you willing? You say, "I'm too old." Well, no, you're not. Just be willing. I was 52 before I crossed the border. You're never too old. If God wants you to stay here in this church and pray and support your pastor and missions, are you willing to do that? You know, instead of just coming and being at church, why don't you make up your mind you're going to come and be in church? There's a big difference in those two little words. For it to be first, a willing mind. Of course, verse 5, if you back up, first, give your own selves to the Lord. So if you're willing, the rest of the verse tells us how we can do more for missions. It says, "It is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Exodus chapter 14, Moses parted the Red Sea with what? A rod. But God's help, when that rod was raised, that sea parted, and those Israelites came across on dry ground. Moses used what he had for the glory of God. And when you think about it, all you can use is what you have. Judges 15, Samson slew 1,000 men with what? Jawbone of an ass. No artillery, no tanks, no jets. Just an old jawbone. With God's help and using what he had, Samson won the battle. Are you willing to use what you have? Judges 7, Gideon destroyed the host of the Midianites with just 300 men. Gideon just used what God gave him. 1 Samuel 17, David took down Goliath with one smooth stone. The Israelites say he's too big to fight. David said, "Hey, he's too big to miss." Y'all don't laugh at any jokes. When God is on your side and you are willing to use what you have, anything can happen. All of these men use ordinary objects to do extraordinary things. What do you have that you can use for God's glory? God wants you to use whatever you have. Use your treasure, use your time, use your talents for His glory. Can you do more this year for missions than you did last year? In the corporate world, we always tried to do more. It was expected of us to do more. Could you give more of your money? I know a man with a family who stopped eating out for 6 months because he wanted to do more for missions, and he saved $5,000 and gave the money that he saved to missions. Where there's a will, there's a way. We had a faithful lady in our church whose husband was lost, and Angela, she was in our church from the very first service, but her husband never came one time in 20 years. Do you think he's going to give her money for missions? No. She started going to construction sites and collecting bottles and cans to sell and give that money to missions. Just a few ideas for you. One man makes $35 an hour and he gives 1 hour's wage a week to missions. A church in southern Georgia with 25 people makes a faith promise commitment for $27,000. Those people were willing. These are just people that I know. I know a business owner who not only tithes on his business income, but also gives 10% to missions from his business. A church in North Carolina that supported us has 91 members, and they support 91 missionaries. I Our home church now in Ohio, Lebanon Baptist here in Lebanon, Ohio, we have about 70 people on Sunday. That includes kids and everybody. Our faith promise last year was just a little over $120,000. We support 94 missionaries all over the world. Church this size, you ought to be 100 plus on your faith promise. You should work to that goal. Amen. Now, I'm not trying to be God and tell you what to give, but I'm just saying, based on some other churches I've seen, that would be very easy for this church if you are obedient to what God asks you to give. Use what you have. Remember one time I was at a missions conference in Dayton, Ohio. This is Dayton Baptist Temple. And during the conference, when they took off their faith promise, they went over $500,000 for the first time. $500,000. Man, that church went nuts. There were people running the aisle. They were waving hankies. I mean, it was just like, you would have think somebody just gave them $500,000. Amen. But they were excited to give away $500,000. Praise the Lord. Use your influence to have a good influence on your children. If you support missions, they will when they grow up. If you give a dollar, they will. If you give $20, they will when they grow up. I've asked a couple of the young guys around here, you know, 6, 7-year-olds, this week. I asked them, I said, how much are you going to give to Faith Promise Missions? And I don't know who they are. I don't know what their names are, who they belong to, but none of them seem to know what I was talking about. They ought to be given something. Amen. Get them started, amen. If you're willing, God will use what you have for His honor and for His glory. Could you pray more? Could you pray more for your missionaries? Maybe God wants you to be a prayer warrior. There's a lady named Marie Smith in Michigan. She called me up one day. I was home. I wouldn't know if she walked in that door. I've never met her. Somebody gave her my prayer card. She said, Brother Dempsey, I'm just calling you. I want to let you know that I prayed for you today. I said, well, thank you, Miss Smith. I appreciate that. She says, yeah, God has allowed me to have an injury that puts me flat on my back every day. I can't get out of bed. And I have hundreds of missionary prayer cards on my ceiling. And I pray for missionaries all day long. And today, I pray for you. I couldn't speak. I just started crying. Missionaries need your prayers. Gladys Hill in Texas, before she died, she said she prayed for us every day. She'd call me up, and she didn't have to tell me who she was because she'd say, Brother Dempsey, this is Gladys down in Texas. Praying for you. And that's about the end of her conversation, you know. Every day. 2002, we were on our survey trip on Vancouver Island. We visited a church there. It was a Sunday. And it was one of the Fellowship Baptist churches. There's about 600 of those across Canada. Not our kind of church. But, I mean, I'm sure they're doing something good for the Lord. I had a lady leading singing, and their youth pastor had hair longer than my wife's, and they had the songs up on the wall with little balls bouncing on, you know, each song, and I call that off the wall music. I don't know what you call it, but just not what I was used to. But we were, you know, we were supposed to be in church on Sunday, so we were in church. After church, I'm out in the aisle, and a lady. Elderly lady walks up to me. She looks at me right square in the eye. She says, you're a preacher, aren't you? I said, yeah, I am. She said, can I see your Bible? Sure. I had in my Bible. She says, this is King James Bible, which they weren't using in that church. I said, yes, ma'am, you're right. You going to start a church here? I said, well, good chance. She said, well, I moved to the island in 1988, and I've been praying ever since then, now this is 2002, that God would send somebody here to start a church and preach and teach out of the King James Bible. 1988, that's the year I got saved. That kind of confirmed I was in the right place. That was Mrs. Ward. I'll never forget that. She lived in Parksville. We started the church in Nanaimo, and for 2 years I drove 25 kilometers to pick her up every Sunday and take her home every Sunday. And then she wanted to come back Sunday night. So here I am. And finally, I just kept praying that she'd move to Nanaimo, and finally she did. Amen. Do you pray? We have prayer cards in our napkin holder on the table. And we pray for 2 missionaries every meal. And we're Baptists, so we eat a lot of meals, so we pray for a lot of missionaries. Amen. That's just one system you can use. There's probably some people here that pray for your missionaries every day. As the old saying goes, your money gets them there, but your prayers keep them there. Every time I hear that a missionary has left the field, I ask him myself, I wonder if I prayed for him and his family like I should have. God will use what you have. He'll use your time. He'll use your prayer time. He'll use your money if you want to give more. Spend some time for him. Maybe God wants you to write your missionary a letter. The letters that missionaries write to the churches are their lifeline to them. You need to know what's going on with your investments. The letters are so important to one church that he told me if he didn't get a letter that month, I wouldn't get a support check. I said, what if I send 2 letters that month? He said, no, that doesn't work that way. As much as you enjoy reading the mission letters, missionaries enjoy getting your letters. We used to get a few letters each month, and they always seemed to come at the right time. We'd get letters because of health issues. 1 year I got 6 birthday cards. Hey, with emails today, you can write a short note to 100 missionaries and encourage them just like that. Boom, gone. Sorry if you send the same thing to every one of them. They just appreciate it. Every prayer letter I get, I try to respond to it. What will you do if God puts me or one of your missionaries on your heart to write a letter? Are you going to say, well, I'm too busy? Hopefully, if God deals with you, then you'd be willing to do what he asked to do. Give him your time. Most of us use our time for the wrong things anyway. Give God your life. He gave it to you. Why don't you give it back to him? Many waste our whole lifetime doing things that really don't amount to much. Some of you will probably go to work tomorrow to a job that you really don't even like. Instead of spending your time in North America working for a job you don't like, why don't you surrender and ask God to use you in something that's really exciting? Going to a mission field. Are you willing to let God use what you have? I guess we'll find out here in a few minutes. Who's willing, who's not. I'll close with a story from C.T. Studd. He was a missionary to 3 countries. China, India, and Africa. That's back in the late 1800s and early 1900s. In 1877, he inherited $145,000, equivalent to millions today. What did he do with it? He invested it in the work of God. He gave it away. Most he gave to China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor. He was also considered one of the best cricket players in the world when he was 22 years old. He gave up the fame of being a famous sports figure to become a missionary. When C.T. Studd was 50 years old, while back in Liverpool, England, he saw a sign that said, "Cannibals want missionaries." He sought out the writer of that sign, and when he did, God called him to go to Africa as a missionary. They said, "Why would you do that?" He says, "At least I'll be a place where I'm wanted." I would say he's willing. I also read this about C.T. Studd. When he was a young boy, just had gotten saved, and he was sitting in church, and he was on the front row, and they started taking an offering, and he was sitting about here, and the ushers came by with the plates, and he didn't have anything to put in the offering plate, and he kind of looked around, and people were putting money in the plate, and they were smiling. Couldn't have been a Baptist church, amen. Y'all are tough, I'll tell you. And he felt bad about that, and the ushers brought the plates back up, and they set him up there, and C.T. Studd got up, took the offering basket, dumped the money out, put the basket on the floor. He said, "Lord, since I didn't have anything to give you," as he stepped in the basket, he says, "I'll give you my life." You know, there are some people in here that God wants you to put some money in the basket. But there are some people in here where God's not really interested in your money. He wants you to get in the basket. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Let's pray. Father, Lord, clarify the message. I know it was very clear at times, but Lord, I pray you'd use it now. And God, we're getting ready to do something here that's very, very, very serious. I pray you would help all of us to do the right thing. Lord, I sure do love you. In Jesus' name, amen.